最早是商品，我很喜欢跟大家在一起吃饭。
And thank you for my translator today. I really admire the translators. It's not an easy job. I appreciate that so much. But many of you might know me. My name is Jason, and I'm a missionary. I work at the University of Buffalo with international students.
大家可能都认识我，牧师名字叫 Jason， 他是一个传教士，他主要的工作是在University 的 UB， 然后做学生的事。
Before I served at UB, I lived in China for 11 years and I was a missionary there, serving in the city of Suzhou, China.
在他去 UB 做事工，他在中国生活了十一年，然后在那边做了学生。
Right, so above is heaven, but on earth is Hangzhou and Suzhou.
上有天堂，下有苏州。
That's right, and we love living in the city of Suzhou. What a beautiful place.
他很享受他在苏州生活。
I miss it. The last time I was there was 3 years ago, so I hope to go back soon. So this fall, we've been working with international students at UB, and the campus is coming back to life. Many students on campus this fall. The professors here, we have professors here at the church that are at UB. It's record enrollment.Lots of students. It's a record enrollment at UB. So many, many students from India on campus. Like 1.5 times the number of students from India on campus. Also a lot of students from China, of course. On Friday, we had a big party where we carved pumpkins. We had pumpkins and students carved pumpkins.And we had over 100 international students come to this event. And we met dozens of new students that we had not met before. So we're excited about building relationships and sharing the gospel with them. Today we can continue.Our study in the book of 1 Peter. I've been studying the book of 1 Peter with you every time I come and speak to you. And today we'll be looking at chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, just three verses. But I think there's many lessons just in these three verses for us to learn today.But before we get there, I wanted to share about my love for Chinese food. My love for Chinese food. We first went to China in 2004, my wife and I. At that time, we had no children. But we always say that started.A 17-year love affair with Chinese food. Our love affair with Chinese food began 17 years ago. Gula Ro, Di San Xian, Piang Yan Ziji Do, Da Pan Ji, Dang Dang Dang. You know, we love all kinds of Chinese food. We love it.As you do too. But since we've moved back to America, back to Buffalo from China, we've discovered that it's hard to find good Chinese food in Buffalo. And so about once a year, my wife and I, my children also love Chinese food, we say, let's get some Chinese takeout. Yeah, and it's kind of American style Chinese food. And so we will get this food and we will eat it, but after we eat it, we don't feel too good.
我们点了，然后吃了之后，吃了之后我们感觉不是很好，不舒服。
think you know this food is not real Chinese food.
我想大家都知道，这美式的中餐其实跟真正的中餐不是很一样。This
is what Americans like, you know.
就是美国人很喜欢。
Yeah, it's got lots of oil, it's deep fried, and lots of sugar. And after we eat the food, we're like, oh, why did we do that? Why did we eat that? Because when we eat that food, we realize, oh, this food is not good for us. It's not nourishing to our bodies. And that's what I want to talk about today. How do we nourish ourselves spiritually? Have you thought about this question? It seems like as Christians, oftentimes we are quick to read and nourish ourselves on anything except what God wants us to nourish ourselves on. Social media, books, television shows. WeChat. What is the college students from China now? Billy B? What is it called? Billy. I'm like, what's Billy B? What is this? So there's just all the stuff that we can be nourishing ourselves on that's just not good for us. But as we come to God's word today, we're going to be reminded about how we can nourish ourselves spiritually. We're going to have a good reminder this morning. And it's going to be an encouragement for us to think about how we can live for Jesus in a dark world. And so today we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and we've already read this morning. Just to give a little context to this book, is a book written by Peter to a group of Christians that are scattered throughout Asia Minor.
这个笔文艺术的背景就是当时在小亚细亚这些这个一群基督徒而写的书。Yeah,
these people are they're kind of outsiders. They're marginalized people.
就这些人他们是局外人，边缘人。They're
persecuted people.
还有这个被迫害。They're
living under pagan governments, governments that are not Christian governments.
他们在被受这个异教教的政府的影响下，
but these people acknowledge that Jesus is King. They follow King Jesus.
他们承认耶稣是王。
They say Jesus is Lord. They don't say Caesar is Lord. And at that time, there was a big difference. Either you needed to say Caesar is Lord, but they refused. They would say Jesus is Lord.
他们就比如说凯撒是王，耶稣，凯撒是王，他们说耶稣。
So the key question as we come to a book like 1 Peter is, what does Peter tell this group of Christians to do? How are they supposed to live in that environment? Are they on one hand supposed to retreat and isolate themselves? Peter says to that, no, don't do that. On the other hand, should they compromise and just kind of fit in with the culture around them? And to that, Peter says, no, don't do that. Instead, Peter finds a middle way that these Christians should live on mission. They should be in the culture, but not of the culture.
相反，然后彼得给他们一个折中的方式，就是这些人需要带着一个任务，神的一个传教使命。They
he calls them to bear witness to Jesus in the midst of a hostile environment.
他们说，在这个敌对的世界里面，要做神的一个见证。And
this is also what Peter is calling us to do today. This is what God is calling us to do today as Christians.
我想这也是今天神对我们的一个。
He's calling us to bear witness to Jesus, even in the midst of a difficult environment. And as we come to this passage, it's interesting, even as we looked at verses 22 to 25, we see Peter talking about a couple things. He's talking about loving God, looking up to God and loving God, and he's also talking about loving your neighbor. He's reinforcing these very, very important ideas of loving God and loving neighbor.
那么在22还有25节的时候，他就爱神，同时爱人。
And now as we come to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we receive this encouragement about how we can live for Jesus in the midst of a dark world.
我们也看到，这些对我们的要怎么来过生。
And if you go to the next slide, I think the big idea of this passage today is this, is that living for Jesus, living for Christ in the dark world involves a new way of dressing and a new way of eating. New way of dressing, a new way of eating. And of course, I'm not meaning literally, but I mean in a spiritual way.
当然我这不是就是真的意思是穿衣来就是被引领的。And
so my prayer for you today is that you would be encouraged to live for Jesus, to live for Christ in a dark world.
所以我一定为你们祷告，希望你们可以在神里面的威神而活，来在这个黑暗世界。Well,
as we come to the passage, we're going to learn two truths.
我们来到这个经文，我们看到两个现象。
About how we can live for Jesus in a dark world. And the first truth of this is, brothers and sisters, put on the right clothes. Put on the right clothes. If you have your, you can follow this as well. We have an outline that you can follow us. You can follow us, it's got translated. But the first point here is put on the right clothes. In order to live for Christ in a dark world, we must put on the right clothes. We'll go to the next slide. What does it say here in verse 1? It says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So, sorry about that.
Oh, yes, perfect.
And so, again, this is really linked to the passage before in verses 22 to 25. Originally, when these letters were written, there was no chapter and verses. So, actually, this should probably be still be chapter 1.
这个就是他最开始写的，所以说这个应该是作为第一章来说。And
in chapter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter is encouraging them to be obedient and love one another earnestly.
同时在彼得书第一章说，他说你要做一个顺服，然后同时要爱人。And
as we come to chapter 2, verse 1, it has this language as so put away all malice and deceit. And this carries the language that we find all over the New Testament of this idea of putting off your old clothes and putting on new clothes. Have you heard of this idea of put off old clothes and put on the new clothes? Have you heard that before when you read the Bible? One of the really great passages is in Colossians 3, 1 through
14.
I don't know if you have a Chinese Bible with you, but it'd be really great if we could read Colossians 3, 1 through 14. But I think we're going to learn so many things about how we can put on take off the old clothes and put on new clothes in Christ.
If you have a Bible, please read Colossians 3:1-14.
Maybe you can you read it? Yeah, this is a really beautiful passage by Paul talking about this idea of putting to death our old, putting away our old clothes and then putting on new clothes in Christ. So the question is, how do we put on these new spiritual clothes? I have three ideas. And the first idea is that we need to do it actively and not passively. Even if as we look in Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 5, verse 8, verse 9, it says in verse 5, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Verse 12, put on, as God shows one's holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, dunda. So it's a very active process. It's not passive. Obviously, we're not doing this to earn our salvation. No, we already have salvation in Christ through faith in Christ, right? But now as we grow in Christ, we have to be very active in that process. We cooperate with God, and it's a very active process of putting off the old, and now I'm putting on the new. The second truth is that this idea of putting on clothes, you have to do it completely and not moderately. Have you ever heard the phrase, in all things moderation? And all things moderation. Well, in this case, that is not true. When we think about putting off the old, we have to go all the way completely. Not some, not half, but all the way. Yeah, what does it say in verse 5? Put to death. That doesn't like, it doesn't mean like put it in a room somewhere, keep it alive, but put it, but it's kill it, kill, kill these things, put it off. It's complete, you know. Verse 8, it says, but now you must put them all away, all away. Or if you come to 1 Peter chapter 2, the verse 1, where we are today, it says, so put all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. It's this idea of complete. We have to put it all away. Right. So if we think about putting on new clothes in Jesus, we have to take off all the old clothes now and put on new clothes. And the third truth that we learn here is that it has, it's realistically, not idealistically. What do I mean by that? I mean that is that this process is progressive and it happens over time. Peter is writing to people that are Christians. They're born again through a living hope in Jesus Christ. And it's so true for us as we become Christians. Yes, the power of sin is broken over us, but still, sin still remains in our bodies. Sometimes as Christians, I think, if I become a Christian, then all my problems will go away and I can live perfectly. Friends, unfortunately, that's too idealistic. That's not realistic. And that's not what Peter's talking about here. He's talking to Christians and he's encouraging them to put away these problems with sin because those things are still there in their lives. And so friends, we need to put on the right clothes. Put on the right clothes. And what's interesting is I've been in this passage and I've been thinking about this passage. I've really been thinking about the relationship of holiness and love. You can go to the next slide. You can go forward if you can keep going. There's a quote by one of my favorite theologians and writers. You can keep going. His name is Wayne Grudem. You can keep going. Dr. Grudem says this. You can go back. One of the true marks of genuine growth and holiness in individuals and in churches is earnest love for fellow Christians. It's interesting as we come to chapter 2, verse 1, and we said, Peter's saying, so put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander, all these things are the opposite of love. The opposite of holiness. In chapter 1, it's talking about in verses 14 and 15 about being holy, be holy because God is holy. And then in verse 22, it says, having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. So, yeah, verse 22 is just talking about obedience that's leading to love. As I've been studying this, I think I've learned something new. Maybe you already know this, but You can go to the next slide. It's like this loop. It's like holiness leads to love. And the more love there is, it's going to lead to more holiness. I don't know if you agree with this, or maybe you've learned this, or maybe you can think about this more, but I think holiness leads to love, and love leads to holiness, and holiness leads to love, and it's this beautiful loop that goes together. Oftentimes when I think about holiness, it's very individual. It's individual. Maybe that's because I'm an American, and Americans are so individualistic. I don't know. I just think about myself. But I think this idea of holiness really affects our church and one another. So as a church, I think as we grow in holiness, it's going to lead to more love for one another. And man, that's my prayer for us, is that we would grow in holiness together, and that this church would be full of love. And I've been around you a while now, and I've been on Friday nights. There is love here. And so I would encourage you just to continue to grow in love. Continue to grow in holiness together. Holiness leads to love. Love leads to holiness. Go to the next slide. Do you know what this is? You know what this is? Have you ever done this before? It's called Jinxun. This is military training. One of the things that I loved about being in China, I worked with college students, is that those college students would do Jinxun. Do they do this in Taiwan too? Jinxun?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They do it in Korea, Taiwan, Singapore. I mean, in a lot of the Asian countries, it's mandatory. And so at Suzhou University, for the first 4 weeks, all of the freshmen would do this. They would be doing military training. And they wear these clothes. Oh, professor, did you do Jinxun? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and the wonderful thing was, because I was a missionary trying to meet students, and we especially wanted to meet freshman students. I knew exactly who was a freshman on campus based on their clothing. And so they would be walking around campus with their clothes. I knew exactly who they were based on the clothes they were wearing. Well, how about us? Do our colleagues and friends and neighbor know who we are based on the clothes we're wearing? I'm talking about spiritual clothes. If your friends and neighbors said, I want to find a Christian, would they be able to find you by the clothes that you're wearing? Are you putting on love and not putting on malice? Are you putting on honesty rather than lying? Are you putting on contentment rather than envy? Friends, put on new clothes.
说朋友们希望你可以穿上这个新的衣服
，put on Jesus，
穿上要披戴耶稣
，and your friends are gonna, your colleagues and friends are gonna see something different about you。
同事的朋友会看到生命中。
Go to the next slide. Next slide. And so the application question I have here is this. Are you growing as a loving person? As you put on these new clothes, as you grow in holiness, is it leading to love in your life? Or another thing is, who can you love this week in this church? Who can you love? Now, this is funny because different cultures love in different ways, right? I've talked to you about this before. Americans are always saying, I love you, I love you. Blah, 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 right? But yeah, that might be too much. You might. But maybe you can cook food. I think food is a love language, right? You can help someone. There's different ways, but I would encourage you to love your brothers and sisters. Well, we learned, number one, that we need to put on the right clothes. Well, as we continue on to this passage, we learn a second truth about how we can live for Christ in a dark world. And the second truth that we learn is that we need to pursue the right kind of food. If we want to live for Christ in a dark world, we must eat the right kind of food.
就是如果说你想为在黑暗中为神而活，你需要吃正确的食物。
Go to the next slide. What does it say in verse 2?
在第二节来说到什么?
Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by you may grow up to salvation.
就是要爱慕那纯净的奶，像才生的婴孩爱慕奶一样，叫你们因此渐长，以致得救。
So what does this mean? What is Peter saying here?
就是他这个说的到底是什么意思？
Is he saying that we are baby Christians? You know, is that what he's saying? That's not what he's saying. He's not talking about young baby Christians now. Is he talking about milk because that's like basic food and not complicated, not sturdy food? Or, you know, no, he's not. That's not the meaning. But the center of the meaning is this idea of longing, like a baby longs for its mother's milk. That's how we need to be as Christians, longing for
it.
I think my translator, yeah, they have a new baby, right?
Yeah, I do. She's not a baby.
How old?
He's a eternity now.
Oh, okay. So not feeding and, yeah.
No, she's still being breastfed.
Oh, yeah. So if you've ever seen a baby being breastfed or fed a bottle, those babies, it's like intense, you know. They're hungry. And that's what Peter is encouraging us to do. Like a baby longing for its mother's milk, we need to hunger for the Word of God. And again, that's what Peter's talking about. He's talking about the Word of God. Even if you look at the context in chapter 1, verse 24, he's talking about the Word of God and how it doesn't fade away. And what do we get when we get the Word of God? We get Christ. When we drink in the Word of God, we drink in Christ into our lives. And as we drink in God himself, as we drink in Jesus, we get more of him and we want more of him. The more of the Word of God that we get, the more of the Word of God we want. We want more of it. So today is October 31st. Did you know what happened 504 years ago today? 504 years ago, something happened. Do you know what happened? It's not related to Halloween, it's something else. Do you know who Martin Luther is? He's our German friend. He started the Protestant Reformation. And one of the key points of the Reformation is that the Word of God would become central to the Christian faith. At that time, the church controlled the Bible and people couldn't read it for themselves. And one of the key things in the Protestant Reformation is they translated the Bible into the language of the people. They translated the Bible into the language of the people, German and English. There's the five solas. One of the major solas of the Reformation is sola scriptura, which means scripture alone, the centrality of scripture. Friends, we have the Bible in Chinese. We have the Bible in English. Read it. Read the Bible. We have the Bible on our cell phones. If you don't want to read it, you can push a button and it'll read it to you. There's several Bible reading plans. You can find one on your Bible app and it'll take you through the Bible in 1 year. Friends, read the Bible. My Chinese friends, you are book people. I've talked to you about this before. I've seen Chinese college students that will memorize in almost entire books. You have a high ability to memorize. I know. You might say, oh, no, not me. Oh, no, I know. You do. Read this book and memorize this book. Eat this food. And Peter says, you will grow strong. It's going to make you strong. James 1:21, there's another verse. You can go to the next slide. James 1:21 says this. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Sounds familiar? It's putting off. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So this idea of receiving with meekness, receiving the word of God with humility. It's basically this, instead of putting yourself over the Bible, put yourself underneath it, submit to it, be humble as you come. There's another verse, Matthew 5:6. Next slide. It says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Again, it's this idea of hungering and thirsting. It's like a baby longing for that milk. We need to hunger and thirst for righteousness, which means to hunger and thirst for Christ himself. Hunger and thirst for the word of God. And what's the blessing attached? The very specific blessing that's attached to this. It says, for they shall be satisfied. Are you satisfied? come and eat. Eat this.
And
you will be satisfied. It'll make you strong spiritually.
Okay,
do you know someone that loves the Word of God?
You
can go to the next slide. For me, this person is my aunt. My aunt. It's my mother's younger sister. I don't know how to say that in Chinese. It's, yeah. She's from this area. She was born after World War II. She's a very godly woman. She married a man and they became missionaries to the Navajo Indians in Arizona. But even though she and her husband were missionaries, her life was not easy. In 1978, she had two babies, and one of the babies died. Her marriage to my Uncle Carl was actually very difficult. He was a difficult man to live with. He was a missionary, but very legalistic and demanding, hard person to live with. She also has a daughter who has struggled in life and is still struggling today. But there's something very constant about my aunt. She is a woman of the word. She loves God's word. She meditates on God's word. She memorizes God's word. She also loves to sing worship songs and hymns. And in the midst of her difficulties, I've seen great spiritual strength. And even in the midst of difficulty, I've seen a woman that is satisfied. And Peter, as we go back to verse chapter 2, he gives us a key of why we should long for the word of God. What does it say in verse 3? He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So why do we long for the book, for the Bible? It's because we have tasted. We know that the Lord is good. And so I've seen this in my aunt's life. She's a satisfied woman. She's tasted the goodness of the Lord. And she has become a woman of the word. So the application question I have for you is this. Is your life marked by a deep and growing satisfaction? God offers you satisfaction in this life. And may we be people that hunger for the word of God. Friends, living for God in a dark world involves a new way of dressing and a new way of eating. We've learned, number one, that we need to put on the right clothes. And number two, we need to pursue the right kind of food. Maybe you're having trouble with this. You don't know what to do. I'm here to encourage you here today. Yes, this can be hard. But my message to you is today to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Ask Jesus to help you to do this. Let's consider the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jesus nourished himself on the Word of God. Jesus was full of the Word of God. He was full of the book of Deuteronomy. Even as you look at his crucifixion, as he's going to die on the cross and dying on the cross, he's full of the Psalms. I think he had memorized huge sections of the Psalms. He was full of the Psalms. Jesus was a man of the Word. How did Jesus dress himself? It talks about in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus humbled himself. He took the form of a servant. And then he ultimately humbly died on the cross. Jesus clothed himself in humility and love. And he died for you. Now, as you come to him, he can help you to put on new clothes and eat the right kind of food. He will help you and he will empower you. Friends, may we be people that wear new clothes. And may we be people that eat the right food. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage and its instructions for us. Help us to be godly people. Help us to follow you, Jesus, in the midst of a difficult world. May our lives be different. May our clothing, our spiritual clothing, be different. May our spiritual diet be different from the people around us. And Lord, may we know your satisfaction in this life. And Lord, may we glorify you in all things. We thank you for this time today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.